You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, who's excited to hear the Word of God today? I mean, the truth of the matter is, for all of us as followers of Jesus, this is our guiding truth, the Word of God. This is where we get nothing but the truth. That's my message today, nothing but the truth. And I really feel that this message is a message for all of us, not just for this season, but a message that guides us in our following of Jesus. Particularly at the moment, I think for all of us, if we've been awake for the last 5 years or so, you notice that more than ever that we're living in a self-focused world. And more than ever, we need to be guided by nothing but the truth. Because what we choose to focus on often isn't the greatest thing for us. We need to focus on the Word of God and the truth that comes from it. Now, I just want to encourage you, this message is a little bit of a prelude to a series that we're going to be doing in the very, very near future. We're not going to start that series until we're all back in the room, because I want every member of our church to be part of this series. And the series is going to be called Elephants in the Room. Elephants in the Room. It's going to be talking about things within the church, current culture that we're living in. It's going to be talking about family, things that are glaringly obvious but often aren't talked about. Nothing but the truth is going to help us navigate these things. So this morning, a little question to ask yourself right now, so that as we go through over the next 25 or so minutes, plus or minus like some questions to ask you. And by the end of it, I pray that you'll be able to look at the scriptures and be able to answer this for yourself. What is true? What is truth for my life? What is true? What is truth for my life? And I want to encourage you that when I asked myself that question, the first place my head went without looking up a scripture was, Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's the first place that my head went. So I ask you the question, where's the first place that your head went when you read it? Now, I'm not saying that you need to like memorize a billion scriptures, but where's the first place your head went? What is true for my life? By the end of today, let's navigate ourselves and orientate ourselves to the scriptures so that the first place that our head goes is, what does God say? What does God say? Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 9 says this: Remember your leaders. They taught God's message to you. Remember how they lived and died, and copy their faith. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let all kinds of strange teachings lead you into the wrong way. Nothing but the truth, amen? Don't let all kinds of strange teachings lead you into the wrong way. Depend only on God's grace for spiritual strength, not on rules about foods and obeying rules that don't help anyone. You know, strange teachings, it's a foreign gospel. Strange teachings, it's a watered-down gospel. Strange teachings, it's a mixed gospel. It's when we start to pull things from our culture and go, oh, yeah, that kind of fits. It's not like that bad, is it? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His message, his gospel of grace doesn't change. His work on the cross doesn't change. He redeems us and restores us. Amen. This morning I want us to have just a brief overview of Daniel. You know, the story of Daniel in the Bible, the book of Daniel, for those of you who are familiar with it. You see, Daniel is this young person who was taken into a culture that was completely at odds with God's truth, completely at odds with the godly culture that he had been raised in and was well-versed in. It was also completely at odds with what God had called him to. He loved God. He prayed to God. He honored God. And in chapter 1, we catch this glimpse of Daniel receiving 3 years, three full solid years of training and instruction in a completely foreign culture. And I want to encourage you that when you leave these doors and you go into your workplaces and you go into the different groups that you're involved in, God has called you to be part of that culture, but he hasn't called you to be that culture. Yeah. Nothing but the truth. We catch a glimpse of Daniel receiving training and instruction in this culture, and essentially the king of that land wanted to condition and indoctrinate Daniel and his friends that were with him as well. And in chapter 2, we see him. He's sure of his standing with God. He's sure of understanding the truth of God, and he's sure of the promises of God, and he finds himself in a place to speak into the lives of others. See, even though he'd gone through 3 years of conditioning and indoctrination from this foreign culture, he still kept up the spiritual disciplines of his life and was ready to speak into whatever God wanted him to speak into. There wasn't mixture. There wasn't a foreign, strange gospel that was churning over inside him. He stayed true to nothing but the truth. And we catch this tug of war all the way through the book and the story of Daniel. See, when the culture of the day, the people of the society would try and bring Daniel to a place where he would conform and give into their way, he resisted and stayed strong. Did he get up on a rooftop and shout out that you're a bunch of whatevers? No, no, he just stayed true to the spiritual disciplines that God had called him to. Did he write a crazy Facebook post and press send and wait for things to blow up? No, he didn't. He stayed true to the culture that God had called him to, the spiritual disciplines of the way of following God. And see, ultimately, we see Daniel choose to stay true to the truth of God's word. He chooses to keep worshiping. He chooses to keep praying. He chooses, even in the face of being threatened and counseled, just to stay true to God's ways. Ultimately, we see Daniel choose to stay and remain in the culture, but he doesn't conform to the culture. Instead, he doesn't speak out against it. He speaks God's truth into it. It's really easy to say, I disagree with that, and you shouldn't that. But what does God want to speak into the culture? What love does God want to speak into somebody's heart? God wants to draw people back to him, not create divides that separate people from being able to hear about his goodness and his love and his mercy. Amen. See, even when people try and use his culture against him and to threaten him and silence him, what we see is Daniel has been given gifts from God. And he uses those gifts to bring significant change into the culture and into individuals within the culture. I want to encourage each and every single one of us that God has given us gifts. God has given you truth. God has given you the good news of Jesus. God has given you giftings to bring hope and change individuals and the culture that you've been called into but not to be. See, Daniel could have allowed the strange teachings and foreign teachings to distract him and confuse him. Isn't that true? That's what things do. When we're out in the world where God has called us to be, sometimes things you get used to hearing things so much that you don't catch yourself agreeing with it, but you catch yourself going, oh yeah, that sounds all right, I guess. No, that's not where God's called us to be. He's called us to know the truth and nothing but the truth. See, Daniel could have chosen to abandon the truth that God had given him. It would have been easier, right? It's just like everyone was after him. No, no, he chose not to abandon the truth. He could have chosen to dismantle and make his gifts inactive. No, instead, he chose to be present and bring hope. He chose to use his life and his time on earth to point people to God. See, in Romans 12, verse 1 through to verse 2, this is what it says. This is out of the ERV version. So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Consider what he has done. It's only right that you should worship him in this way. We're going to pause there before we go into verse 2. See, we often focus on Romans 12, verse 2. But verse 1 preceding it paints a really important picture for us. And we look at the life of Daniel. He chose to make his life a living sacrifice for God. Whatever may come, lion's den, my life's a living sacrifice for God. I'm going to worship him. People speaking out against me, whatever may come, my life is a living sacrifice to God. Considering what he's done, I need to worship him in every part of my life. Verse 2, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. I want to encourage you. So often we look at scriptures like this and we perhaps sometimes use them in a self-help way. No, this is something that is meant to change us completely. It's not meant to make us feel better about ourselves on a day-to-day basis. This is a complete renewal and transformation into nothing but the truth of God for our lives. You with me this morning? Amen. In the Living Bible, in verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. It's really easy to get caught up in things, particularly when there's a whole lot of other people around you who are doing those things. Don't get caught up in it. Nothing but the truth is good enough for your life. You deserve nothing but the truth. God's best for your life, his perfect will for your life. Amen. I just want you to be encouraged again today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's not give ourselves over to strange teachings. Nothing but the truth. Amen. We need the hope of Jesus. We need to share the hope of Jesus. We need to be beacons of hope in a culture that is now full of strange teachings and go against God's truth. Amen. It's up to us to be out there sharing the hope of Jesus. We need nothing but the truth, and all we need to do is point people to the truth. Jesus. What is the truth for all humanity? What is the truth for all humanity? It says here, John 3:16, yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him would not be lost, but have eternal life. This is the truth for all humanity. The truth is in Romans 10 verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the truth for all humanity. The truth is in John 8, 31, says this, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you continue to accept and obey my teaching, you are really my followers. Verse 32, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. This is the truth for all humanity. You choose to follow Jesus, choose to believe in Jesus, you will be set free with the truth. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, this should be stirring something in you this morning. You have the truth, and the truth has set you free, and it's the truth for all humanity. So I wanted to give us a bit of a glimpse today about the time that we're living in, a clear view of the culture where God has called us to live but not be. Amen? So I believe that God has called us to live in the culture where we are, but to live with nothing but the truth and to share nothing but the truth. So often we can get caught up in sharing fringe things that don't quite line up with the Bible. Weird things that get shared on social media. Strange teachings that, and I'm not saying all of us do that, but I want to encourage us. It's nothing but the truth. This is the only positive thing that we can share with people that see them come back into relationship with God. The truth of His Word. But how does this compare with the culture of our time? How are we meant to live in the culture of our time, yet not to conform to it or be tricked by it or conditioned by it? See, the current state of our culture is a mixture of truths and fiction. Represented are alternative narratives from truth of God's Word and other stuff that's become present in current culture. See, it would seem currently in our culture that we live in that there are alternate fictional narratives that are being shared as absolute truths around so many issues. Can I say that one more time? Because if you're hearing this for the first time, you'll be like, come again, Pastor? It would seem that in our current culture, the time that we live in, that alternate fictional narratives are being shared as absolute truths around so many issues. I mean, if you believe in science, some of the fictional narratives are like, come again? It's a fictional narrative. What does that mean? Someone's made up something in their own head and they've fought so hard for it and pushed it so far out there that many people have started to believe it as an absolute truth. It doesn't line up with God's truth. It doesn't even line up with the truth of science, which God invented, by the way. It doesn't even line up with that, let alone. Stay to your notes, Lee. Stay to your notes. Fictional reality is often presented as a true narrative through slow and gentle conditioning. Happens through TV, happens through movies, happens through social media and other discourse that you may be part of. But I want to encourage you today, don't be naive to the fact that current culture is calling on us and asking us to conform to beliefs that don't line up with the Bible. We need to know the truth and nothing but the truth. See, often I find that this is done, these fictional truths, fictional realities, it's done through normalizing things in accepted culture. Happens via social media, happens by media in general. We're bombarded with fictional realities of what love is, what acceptance is, through politics and other realities that are either made up to entertain or distract you from actual reality. See, Daniel was presented with commands and judgments about who he was supposed to worship and how he was supposed to be part of the culture of his day. But he had enough truth in him, enough wisdom, enough giftings to realize that these commands were fictional truths rather than God's truth. Get the truth in you. Get wisdom in you. Get the gifts of God activated in you, so you can discern what's fictional truth and what's God's truth for your life. The challenge for each and every single one of us as individuals, as parents, as followers of Jesus, is to recognize that there is attack on us as individuals, there's an attack on our kids from the culture of the day, trying to steal, rob, and destroy God's plans for people's lives. Be aware of it. Don't be naive to the fact. The truth is, the time that you grew up in was much easier than the time for kids that are growing up now. Doesn't mean it was like super easy, like we all had struggles and stuff, right? But everything's available. Every naive thought, every thought that exalts itself against God, it's just a search away. Every untruth, every fictional reality, it's just a search away. There is this slow and cumulative assault that aims to rob individuals and society of their identity that God has stamped on them at creation. So I want to encourage you, but nothing but the truth and hope of Jesus can set people free from the almost truths that are cheap lives and cheap knockoffs for their life. Cheap knockoffs. Almost true, but not the truth. See, for us as a church, we love everyone, and our message is nothing but the truth of Jesus. I want to encourage you, the wisdom and discernment, the gifts of the Spirit, we each and every single one of us need them to be activated in our lives. The last 20 months has been a stress and a strain on many of us, amen. And I just want to share this message with you again, just to wake us up. Let's activate the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. Let's tune in to hear what God wants to say to each and every one of us. We need to be able to discern what's the truth, what's an almost truth, and what's just a straight cheap knockoff. Resist false truths. Embrace the people around you with hope and the love of Jesus. What's the second book of Timothy say such about? The second Timothy in the fourth chapter say about such matters. There will come a time when people will not listen to the true teaching, but people will find more and more teachers who please them. They will find teachers who say whatever they want to hear. People will stop listening to truth. They'll begin to follow the teachings of false stories. It's fictional reality, false narratives. In the Message version, it says it like this. You're going to find that there'll be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servants. What are mirages? Anyone used to watch like old cartoons? It's like a cartoon character caught out in the middle of a desert. It's like, what am I seeing? See, mirages, they are illusions. Delusions. And they cause us to be deluded of God's best. They cause people to not see God's truth for their life. See, when we're going through a rough patch, sometimes we see something in the distance. You know, things in the distance always look so much better than they are up close. Have you gone to shop for a secondhand car? And you're like, from the road, like you're in your car that you're trying to get rid of, you're like, man, that looks all right. You get a bit closer, it's like, ooh, it's got a spoiler. Does that say turbo? But then you get a bit closer and you look at the front of the car and it's like, this thing has been rallied through a desert full of rocks. And then you lift the bonnet and where the turbo used to be, there's a paper bag with like some cotton balls in it. Like things in the distance look so much better, but It's a false revelation. You get closer and it's like, oh, the gifting stir. Oh, I see what's going on here. That thing is worth, it's a cheap knockoff. It's a cheap knockoff. See, those things, those fictional realities that in the distance, they look like they're going to quench the thirst of our souls. But ultimately, they lead us to more thirst that is unquenchable. Unquenchable. You see, things that you think are going to help you, but what they end up doing is they end up confusing you. They end up robbing you of your peace and your joy. You partake of what you think is going to help you or fix you, but instead it hurts you. Nothing but the truth. Our message is nothing but the truth of God is our fill. That's what's going to fill those places in our heart. So we're keeping our eye on doing His will. We're keeping the message of hope, the message of Jesus alive and well, amen? See, living in the truth, it's not always easy, but it is rewarding. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says this, "You can enter true life only through the narrow gate. The gate to hell is very wide, and there's plenty of room on the road that leads there. Many people go that way. But the gate that opens the way to true life is narrow. And the road that leads there is hard to follow. And only a few people find it." I want to encourage you. Let's try and get more and more people on the narrow road. Amen. Let nothing but the truth guide us to stay on the narrow road to the truth. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6, 16 to 18, it says this. "So we've now stopped evaluating others from a human point of view." This is what the Word of God, this is the truth for us as individuals. God has not called us to evaluate or judge others. Only God alone can do that. Only the one without sin can do that. "At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Aren't you glad of that? I know that I am. "The old life is gone and a new life has begun." This is the truth of God for your life and the lives of people that God has called you to bring hope to. I just want to encourage you, embrace nothing but the truth. Embrace nothing but the truth. Be present in the culture of our day, but don't be swayed or tricked to endorsing the culture of our day, especially when it's at odds with God's truth and His goodness. Allow God to use you in the culture of our day to bring hope and grace and Jesus to the people in our lives. See, Daniel lived in the culture, learned the culture, but used his giftings in the culture. It was one that spoke into the lives of leaders and culture, but he never endorsed or became the culture or was conditioned by its practices. So I want to encourage you, like, sometimes we hear messages like this and it's like, how am I going to do this? In my own ability, how am I going to do this? I'm glad you asked. John 16:13. "When the Holy Spirit, who is truth, comes, He shall guide you into all truth. For He will not be presenting His own ideas, but He'll be passing on to you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future." God wants to speak to you, wants to bring you into truth. And what did He do? He sent truth so that we could be led and guided into truth. I don't know about you, but praise God, I'm not doing this on my own. The Spirit of God, who was sent by Jesus to fill every single one of us, is guiding us into truth. I don't know about you, but that takes the pressure off my shoulders just a little bit. All I got to do is agree and walk where he's leading. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, this morning, if you don't know Jesus, can I point you to truth? Can I point you to hope? Can I point you to salvation? Can I point you to the Savior of the world, Jesus? That's my message for you today. Nothing but the truth of Jesus will set you free. Nothing but the hope of Jesus will set you free. It's what God's done for each and every single one of us. All humanity, God sent his son Jesus, died on a cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, so that your sins could be forgiven and you could be restored in relationship with God. This is the truth for each and every single one of us. If you don't know him personally, if you're watching online now or at a later date, if you're in the room today and you don't know him personally, you know of him, but you don't know him personally, can I encourage you today? Can you pray this prayer after me in a moment? It's a prayer of accepting Jesus, acknowledging that he is Lord, and following him, amen. If that's you, why don't we all close our eyes? Can I encourage everybody to pray along with me today? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you sent Jesus and he rose again on the third day to forgive me and restore me. From this day on, I choose to follow you. I repent of my sin and I choose to follow you. I surrender my life to nothing but the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, awesome. If you prayed it again because you've just been perhaps wandering off on your own path for a little bit, you're like, no, I need to get back on the narrow. I need to get back on the narrow. Awesome. If you're watching online and you've prayed that prayer for either of those reasons or others, can I encourage you? Go to gc.org.au/first steps. There's information about what to do next, but also how to get in contact with us. We want to champion you in following Jesus.